Welcome to the Classy Ring Attire Podcast. I'm Joel.
I'm Chris.
It's time to get classy.
Let's do it.
All right. So, we are fresh off of a 30-minute Daniel Bryan match.
Yes. Involving three different wrestlers.
Yes. One of which was really good.
Yeah, the bulk of which was taken up by Cesaro and Daniel Bryan, and we're completely okay with that.
Yes.
And I would have been better off if that ended, but I understand why they brought in Ryback afterwards.
I'm honestly totally okay with that.
But yeah, I mean, I'm like, anything involving Daniel Bryan after that Cesaro match is just getting spoiled.
Yes.
Like, they could have brought out a goat, an actual goat, and Daniel Bryan could have slaughtered it right there in the middle of the ring.
They would have lost the PG rating. Are they still rated PG?
I believe so, yeah.
Because, you know, they've kind of given up on trying.
I believe so.
So, is it...
They might have, like, TVPG and have, like, another letter underneath it.
Yeah. Because, you know, a lot of when, you know, the election season was over, there was a lot of, is it going to... Are they going to give up? Are they going to re-cater to shock value?
Mm-hmm.
Try and recapture attitude era, you know, rating levels, which I don't think anything will ever recapture.
No.
I mean.
Especially when, you know, TV is just spread out.
TV's so splintered today.
Yeah. It's almost impossible to get the numbers.
I don't think that the new, you know, Marvel TV show that I'm sure cost a mint to put out,
yeah,
is gonna get the same ratings that, you know, This Is Your Life Rock got.
True, yeah.
So.
Yeah, like, yeah, primetime.
ABC.
Yeah, primetime on the big networks, they're not gonna get those old, late 90s.
Glory days numbers.
Numbers, yeah.
So. But, anyway, I'm digressing already.
Losing interest quickly.
I really like that match. I'm going to walk you through why I really like that match.
Okay. I mean, I didn't have, you know, a bunch of points about it, but I agree, but go ahead.
Okay, so
I don't really need convincing.
I'm not here to convince you. I'm here to explain to you and educate you as to why exactly that match is so good.
Okay.
So that when you, the WWE, who I'm sure is listening to this, want to recreate the magic of this match, you will know what points to hit and what points to not hit. The bringing out Ryback was not one of the positive points, so we don't need to re-hit that point in future matches.
Yes.
So, but the match, I mean, the match is serving to justify and legitimize Daniel Bryan as a worthy contender of the WWE Championship.
And a convincing contender to face Cena.
Right. Let us not forget that he was also the number one contender last year, about this time, slightly before this time, and probably...
But he was also a heel then.
Yes.
Yeah.
But that was the best part of the best thing about the WWE for a year. CM Punk's year-long run, and the best part about that...
The 3 months that it was focused on him and Daniel Bryan.
Yes. So, and Daniel Bryan is unquestionably a factor in that. It's not some magic coincidence.
No, yeah.
So, but I get that to justify a face versus face match, and, you know, when it comes to faces, Cena will forever be the, you know, pillar of that mountain, the peak of that mountain that will look down upon all the other faces.
He's basically the only face on that Mount Rushmore.
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely, right now. So, to beat three guys in a row, to be able to, you know, last through that severe beating,
mm-hmm.
I get that. Good point, good plan. Made Daniel Bryan look good. The bulk of that, given to Cesaro. These guys worked great off each other. Made both of them look good. Cesaro loses cleanly, that's okay. He comes out of that match looking good.
Yeah.
Jack Swagger didn't really, that's okay, I don't care. So, if somebody I cared about got squished earlier...
I mean, let's be honest. Jack Swagger doesn't even care about Jack Swagger.
So it seems sometimes.
Right. So, yeah, that's fine.
And then Ryback comes out. And there's this thing where you've kind of... I'm trying to think of a way to say it that's not shot your wad. Because it's not quite what I'm going for here, but...
Oh...
When you pulled that trigger on the heel turn for Ryback, mm-hmm. which is clearly done to fill a gap of heels to face Cena.
Which is a month.
Yes.
Literally a month.
Yeah. 2 months, right?
Well, you're right. 2 months.
Mm-hmm.
But one pay-per-view cycle, essentially. But it was 2 months. Between WrestleMania and Extreme Rules. That's how long it lasted.
Wow, you're right, yeah.
It was 2 months, yeah, because it was that long stretch between those pay-per-views. But essentially, it was that one pay-per-view cycle that Ryback was a heel.
But the thing
and
is...
And it started off so strong, too.
Yeah.
The big surprise at the end of the post-WrestleMania show. And everyone going crazy for it.
It was great. There was this wonderful justification aspect of it. Here's XYZ times I got your back. Here's XYZ times you never had my back. This was a one-sided, poisoned friendship that I'm done with.
That also turned into a pretty one-sided, poisoned match.
Yes, but I'm saying that one of the beautiful things about this Ryback heel turn was how incredibly justified it felt.
When it started, yeah.
How it felt a little bit like there's 6 months of story build-up here mm-hmm. that we never noticed. And I'm sure that didn't actually happen, but that's what it looked like.
Right.
In that moment. What I really had hoped for at that time was that Ryback would stay in this tweener half a face field
mm-hmm.
to challenge Cena. Because really, that's where you're going to get your best stuff out of Cena right now. Because he gets so many boos in his shtick to continually get that 50-50 split crowd is kind of the best thing you can get out of a Cena match right now.
Yeah.
So facing faces, or as good as faces, is where Cena has done his best work. A lot of that's been against Punk for the past 2 years.
Right.
But that's why I have really high hopes for the SummerSlam match, is that there will be a split in the crowd, which Cena likes to work off of, and works off of really well.
Yeah.
So, you know, say what you will about the Let's Go Cena sucks chance, but Cena's good at working it.
Yeah. I mean, he's had to get used to it, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, he was either that or just completely drowned. So.
Well, yeah. Any other superstar, the trigger would have been pulled.
Yeah.
He would have turned heel.
Right.
Not Cena.
Cena's absolutely unique case in that sense.
Mm-hmm.
So,
anyway.
Back to your points about Cesaro and Daniel Bryan.
Yes. Back to my points. Ryback, you kind of turned heel to be able to fulfill this challenger for Cena.
Yeah.
Because Cena just beat The Rock, which is... There are no mountains left to climb for Cena at that point.
Basically, yeah.
I mean, and from a story perspective, he had this one final thing, which was to successfully defeat the Masters. You know, it's the classic thing of storytelling is you have this, you know, master from previous generation, student becomes the master thing. Mm-hmm. Cena didn't do that at 28. Blah, 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 your redemption does that at 29.
Yeah.
Literally nowhere left to go from this point. So, what they did, and I think they've continued to suffer from that, and will suffer from that as long as Cena is champion. Which is fine right now, because he, you know, his job right now is to defend the title.
Mm-hmm.
But come WrestleMania season, you'll need a story greater than that. Because you've done so much for so long to diminish the value of the title in and of itself.
Yeah.
And while we've said before, or I've said, and I think you've agreed, that it would be nice if I want the title, you want the title, let's fight for it, is enough to pull a legitimate feud out of it.
Right.
That's not how it is anymore.
No, there has to be some other thing to get everyone else involved. Or everyone else engaged.
So feuds that are like that fall flat. Where am I? I'm still on Ryback, aren't I? Jeez.
Yeah.
So, we flip Ryback. Ryback's gone, taken care of by Cena. But now he's kind of stuck as heel. This heel that failed to beat Cena. And when he got squashed, he got way squashed down to the bottom. But they spend all this time investing into Ryback. So Ryback gets to his beating of Chris Jericho, which doesn't mean as much as it used to.
Yeah.
Which, you know.
And it'll roll up from all things. So.
Yeah, and that's a thing where, and as I think Jericho's gone now.
Yeah, they did up a storyline on SmackDown where Ryback came and just took out Jericho completely, and you know, Jericho went ahead and says, like, yeah, I'll see you guys, you know, until next time.
Yeah. When he comes back, and I'm sure he'll come back, probably for the amount of time that he came back this time, this, like, leading to WrestleMania, and then slightly after. Mm. That seems to be the time of year he's free.
That's the time where he's knowingly freed up.
Because he'll have a fall tour.
Yeah.
That needs to be a Jericho winning run. Like...
Yeah.
I think it's super cool of Jericho to be willing to put these other guys over. But it can only happen so many times, and we've crossed that line. It doesn't mean as much to beat Jericho that it once did.
Not really, yeah.
And that's a problem.
His stock kind of took a small hit. Yeah. I mean, you know.
It took a hit. It didn't take a hit in any way that will, like, taint his legacy.
No, not at all.
You know, make him a joke or a laughing stock.
It would take quite a lot more.
He would have to have depressingly humiliating defeats in unbelievably bad matches.
Like, on Raw for a month, he would continuously get beat by a different member of 3MB.
Yeah.
And then Yoshitatsu, and...
Yeah. And, you know...
It would bring back Trent Beretta
just to beat him.
Jericho. And then, you know, fire Trent Beretta again.
The thing is, with these Jericho matches, he's losing, but he's still putting on great Jericho matches.
Right.
It's just the check box... You can put the check in the box of, I beat Jericho, does not have the stock for an up-and-coming wrestler that it once did. Because, of course, you beat Jericho. Everybody beat Jericho.
Right.
Anyway, the way that they seem to be thinking about building Ryback, they haven't touched on the Vicky thing.
Yeah, it was just kind of a one-off, I think. And now they named her as GM of SmackDown.
Yeah. Which, are they bringing back a brand split?
I don't know.
Like,
or they're basically just redoing the whole GM thing, which they do fairly regularly,
mm-hmm.
and not necessarily is going to be the whole big brand split thing.
I know, but how long was Teddy Long GM of SmackDown?
I mean, he wasn't really GM of SmackDown this time. He was filling in for
Booker.
Yeah. But before that, yeah, he was for a few years, yeah.
Yeah, he was, that was the
incident. Was it for a few years, and that was after Vicky took over for him for whatever reason. And then he kind of took a back seat for a while, and then they put him back in and took Vicky off.
Yeah.
Probably to help Ziggler or something like that. So basically, from what I understand, after Ziggler and Edge had their thing a couple years ago.
Yeah.
Because she was in power then.
She was in power, but she was in power because he was sick or something.
Because
he came back and voided whatever she had done. That's why...
Oh, yeah.
Remember, because Ziggler's first reign was like a day.
Yeah.
And so,
fair enough.
But the thing that it seems they're starting to do with Ryback now, and I could be reading too much into this, is just making him mean. He's...
Yeah.
You know? He's a bully for, you know, lack of a better term.
He is an O'Doyle.
Yeah, which, you know, is totally fine, where he doesn't really care about winning this match. It's more fun for him to throw the guy through a table. Yeah, he loses the match, so what? The other guy went through a table.
Yeah.
Stick with this, I think Ryback will be a heel that is very easy to boo.
Yes.
He will be someone that people will pay to see get beat, which is a good thing. We'll get some nice, genuine heat on the guy. Which he needs right now. He doesn't have...
He needs some sort of interest. But, I mean, and I can't blame him completely tonight because the fans were pretty much spent after Daniel Bryan and right. Cesaro. As we were watching it at Geeksboro, like...
Oh, yeah.
Just, we had nothing more to give from a fan standpoint.
Yeah, that's very true. But as a heel, Ryback cannot do what CM Punk and Damian Sandow can do, where it is
verbally,
yeah, and awe-inspiring to watch them, you know, cut these heel promos, which are entertaining and really, really good to listen to and experience. So you just he needs to be just genuinely deeply hated by as many people as possible.
Yeah.
You know, like, not quite, but bordering on X-Pac heat.
Yeah, but again, people hated X-Pac for a different reason than what they wanted.
Yes, I know, but...
But, I mean, in the end, who cares? You're getting a reaction.
Yes. And Ryback is genuinely talented enough in the ring. And he's, you know... He's seriously strong enough and built to a physical condition where he's just good in the ring to an extent, just by existing, just by being there.
Right.
It's what Brock Lesnar and Goldberg have.
Yeah, just that imposing
force
thing going for him. Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
And it's like, oh, that guy is physically capable of picking up that guy and throwing him. So...
And can do so convincingly. Yeah.
Yes. So honestly, you know, even though it wasn't the match right previous for it, I think Ryback came out of this match looking fine.
Yeah,
for the Ryback that they should try to want.
Yeah.
Then, okay, and then the bell rang, and so the match is over, and then the match is perfect. The aftermatch of the match where Cena comes out, no, I don't care for this.
Yeah, because it's an awkward setup to next week, and then that leads to the awkward setup in the back where they set up
Daniel Bryan and Kane,
which is, I thought that's what we would get tonight. Like, Kane would be the third one that we really weren't unsure about.
Well, we still have a few weeks to fill
as we
pad our time to SummerSlam.
True. I mean, because they played up the whole thing with Kane and the Wyatt family pretty heavily in the video package and then just did nothing with it.
Yeah. I'm really scared, Chris. I'm really scared they don't know what they want to do with the Wyatt family.
Yeah.
It is a very...
I mean, I don't know. The Kane thing interests me.
Like, yeah.
I feel like they have a direction for that. Beyond that, I'm not sure.
It's a very interesting thing, but it's a very specific type of character. And it's a type of character that you have to have a plan and a goal of a storyline to tell with these characters... The second they debut, or they will get lost in shuffle and vagueness that will be figured out later that will never be figured out or revealed.
Right. And I mean, that, and see, basically, that strategy, it worked for the Shield.
Mm-hmm.
They really didn't know exactly what they wanted to do with them. They just kind of made it up as they went along, and it paid off because. All three members of the Shields are extremely talented, but that doesn't always work, as we've seen.
They're extremely talented, but they're a thing where anybody they attack, because they want justice, it's a vague enough concept where anybody they can attack.
They can, yeah.
But they have a clear, defined, we want justice thing. The Wyatt family is just weird and kooky. We don't even know what they want. And if the writers don't know what they want, then they won't figure it out. I kind of liken it to the anonymous GM, where it's something that...
It was a different idea.
Yes. there was very interesting stuff at the beginning. Vince was talking on the phone with him, you know. Nexus attacked Vince, took him out, you know. Mm-hmm. So it can't be Vince for these reasons. And then there's, oh, it could be this person. Who is it? And then it went too long. And there was no forward momentum in the story because they hadn't written an endgame when they started it. And it faded away into nothing. And then we get a Hornswoggle joke. So, yeah. If they don't know what they're doing with the Wyatt family, they're going to start something and it's not going to get a reaction that they thought. They'll try something different, leaving some storylines, you know, unfinished, and then they'll kind of get into the mid-card, and then in a year from now, we'll have Hornswoggle in a sheet mask.
Oh, God. Oh, God.
That is a very real possibility.
I know. You just put the fear of God in me. Oh, that hurts. Yeah.
The other very dangerous thing is when you have to have a story, you know, there has to be a very clear, concise storyline. And, like, if it's with Kane, and then Kane gets hurt, there is no backup for this.
Yeah. So. I mean, they've got to find a way to turn the focus back on Bray Wyatt.
Yes.
Because he is the focal point, and I know, as we've seen in NXT, when you put the focal point back on him, really good things can happen.
Mm-hmm.
So, I understand that they really like the Bray Wyatt, or the Wyatt family idea. And it's an interesting idea, and it's different, and I'm all for that. They've got to find a way to turn the focus back on Bray.
Yeah.
Whatever that means, they'll have to figure it out, because I certainly don't have an answer right now. Because I don't know what their intention is right now. And I'm assuming that's just something that we'll gradually see more and more of, hopefully.
The thing to compare it to is the Straight Edge Society.
Yeah.
Is this looking for followers thing. This, you know, Christ figure that you boo.
Yeah.
Straight Edge Society is 110% of its success is owed to CM Punk.
The leader, yeah.
And I don't even think CM Punk would say that. I think he... And there's, you know, props to be handed out to the other people.
Well, yeah, everyone played a part.
But not like CM Punk.
The focal point had to be him. Like as he goes, everyone else followed. Like,
mm-hmm.
That's got to what... That has to be what happens with Bray Wyatt.
Yes, exactly. Yes, Chris?
Something alarming happened tonight while we watched Raw.
Oh, we're going to talk about this?
There was a point towards the early moments of the show where Joel,
mm-hmm.
who has been he has been waving the flag of the anti-Sheamus movement.
Do you have that La Viva Revolution thing, that Les Mis picture of the guy with the French flag? And the musket.
Yes, and instead I'll have a flag of just, like, Sheamus, like, just the Sheamus head with his really wide eyes, just had the crazy look with a big Ghostbusters, you know, circle
with a line through
his face, yeah. You have been carrying that flag.
Mm-hmm.
For at least the past month or so,
yeah,
we'll go
with a month, yeah.
And you said that you... I don't remember what exactly you said, but you said something positive about Sheamus' match.
Yes.
Against Del Rio.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know which direction is up anymore. You are our faithful leader. And I feel like you have turned to the dark side.
Chris, tell me how you felt about that match.
I was okay with it.
Okay.
Because, for one, it was short.
Okay.
And that Sheamus lost.
Uh-huh.
And Del Rio... He did a very good job in that match.
Uh-huh.
Sheamus didn't screw it up.
Right.
And Sheamus, for once, was believable.
Uh-huh.
In the role that he played in that match.
Yes.
I believe you said that you were impressed by Sheamus. I don't know if that was your wording or not.
It might have been. I wasn't paying attention.
Yeah.
Well, let me...
And you attribute it to Brad Maddox being GM.
I did attribute it to Brad Maddox being GM.
As you put it, the Bratitude era.
The Bratitude era. I really thought we've covered this on the podcast.
I really did.
Already.
I don't think you ever said that on the podcast before.
I totally apologize. As long as Maddox is GM, it's the Bratitude era.
I'm going to need our dear friends that are listening to this that are much better at Photoshop as I am. I need a picture of just the Braddock's head with a black background and the Attitude scratch
the
right underneath, but
Attitude.
add the BR to it.
Yeah.
Underneath his face.
I'll totally take that.
So, Photoshop people, get on that.
On that. Here's the thing about so prominently leading the charge of hatred against Sheamus.
Mm-hmm.
To do that, and I feel to do that credibly, that there needs to be admittance when things go right in the way of Sheamus.
Yes.
There needs to be very specific complaints and criticisms registered as to what has gone wrong with this character of Sheamus. And this is true of anybody. If you hate Mark Henry, if you hate Cena, if you hate Punk, then nope, that's not acceptable.
It's not even, no. That's,
scratch that one off. Nope.
No such
nope.
thing as a dumb idea. I think we just found one.
Nope.
Yes.
But to, you know, when it comes to very specifically and irrationally hating one thing, I think to be credible in that and to not just be written off, you need to have these very specific complaints, which is what I've tried to do in these, you know, rants and tirades against Sheamus. I've complained very specifically about what I've, you know, what I've found him to come up short in. And although this might not be a full requirement, I really want to be able to say that there is room for improvement. There's always room. These are fixable things. Sometimes they are not. With Kali, I think there are unfixable flaws with him. I think he is physically incapable of doing certain things.
Yes.
That completely and will forever hinder him as being any sort of credible entertainment in the ring.
Yes.
With Sheamus, that is not the case. It never has been the case. Every complaint I have lodged against him has been a theoretically fixable thing. Nothing I ever believed would be fixable would be fixed,
right.
But something that, you know, in the world
if
of theory...
If he wanted to work at it, he could.
Yes. Tonight's match with Sheamus was, as you said, short. Sheamus lost. Sheamus lost cleanly. A lot of my complaints were Sheamus's going on too long, coming back from the brink of failure to Super Cena or Super Sheamus his way to victory.
I preferred the term Scumbag Sheamus.
Yes.
Well, Scumbag Sheamus.
He would Scumbag Sheamus his way to victory. I accept that. That he would never lose cleanly. And that when he lost by, you know, whatever shady shenanigans of his opponent, he would then beat them up and still get his music played.
Yes.
None of those things happened.
They kind of played up more, at least the commentators and the cameramen,
mm-hmm.
played up more of the sympathy thing with the giant, ugly bruise on his leg.
Guy had a big bruise.
Like, that still, from, like, this, you know, 2 weeks later.
Big bruise. I would have called in sick to work with a bruise
like
that.
Well, that's technically what he did last, well, you know, they really didn't allow him to be...
I would not...
I'm surprised they even let him out on the stage for that, the last segment.
My work is not being punched by large men
right.
like his is, and I still would have been like, snapshot of that bruise, send it into my...
I would have been like, guys, I cannot, enter this data into the computer today.
Bruise my leg.
For, you know, 5 hours. I'm gonna stay home.
So, you know, I genuinely have to give... And, you know, and that's something I've always given Cena, is that the guy's a workhorse. The guy shows up every week.
Mm-hmm.
Which people hate, but...
Yeah.
But, you know, Sheamus showed up and was in a match and let somebody else hit him physically.
there, yeah, on the bruise, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I said at the time, this is a good amount of Sheamus. If Sheamus returns at any point in this episode, that'll now be too much Sheamus. I don't need that. But he didn't. So, yes, for this episode of Raw,
the Bratitude era came through.
Yes, the Bratitude era came through.
Alright.
And Sheamus was well used. His, you know, where he can be used well was highlighted. So, yes, I am impressed that in 2 weeks, you know, Sheamus has gone from the every...
Absolutely detestable in your eyes.
Yes.
To...
Every
reasonable.
No, we're still... You don't get out of the doghouse
okay.
on one good match.
He poked his head out of the doghouse.
Yes.
That's it.
He creaked that door open ever so slightly.
Okay.
Just enough to make that little horror movie noise. That he's like, there you go, that's it. So no, there is a long, hard
it's
road.
The sound his leg is making whenever he moves it.
Fair enough. But there is a long, hard, arduous road to any sort of acceptability of Sheamus.
Right.
But this was, in every way, steps in the right direction.
Okay.
And
it was a single step.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, a single match, single step, that's fair. But while I might have said I'm impressed with Sheamus, what I am genuinely impressed with is that everything that was problematic about Sheamus was addressed.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, impressed is a word for it, like surprised, taken aback, various thesaurus words for this.
Okay.
Synonyms.
I do have another,
Yes.
Piece of anger towards you tonight.
Okay.
You left me.
I did.
You left me during the Total Divas segment.
Oh, I did. Yeah, no, I was busy. I didn't need to see that.
You walked outside and you talked on the phone.
I did.
For like 30 minutes.
Not quite.
We were pretty close.
I had to get back in time for 10 o'clock. Because I was like,
that's
probably when Punk's going to come out.
Yes. And you guessed it correctly. Congratulations.
Yes.
You left me. That dude was so good.
How was that?
It was so... like, okay, first of all, they had every single diva that was going to be on the show, including the two nobodies that we've never even heard of. I think one might have been on NXT for a little bit. The other one, I looked her up online. I literally couldn't find any sort of wrestling background. Could just be an actor or an actress that they hired for the show.
And they're going to stick her through some training?
Possibly. I don't know. But she seems the one that they're focusing on, too.
Yeah.
The one that with obviously overly dyed red hair.
Yes.
So, yeah, they had all the divas that are going to be featured on the show out on stage.
Mm-hmm.
None of them looked like they wanted to be there.
Yeah.
You know, Natalia, she's always her cheerful self. That's notwithstanding. Miz comes out because they're you know, this is Miz TV, and like he said, he knows a lot about reality shows because he was on them.
Mm-hmm.
He came out, he introduced them one by one. Then he went from that, and I don't think he said anything else. Then he awkwardly asked Jerry to come up to the ring, and Jerry basically reintroduced everyone. Like, I know you guys. I know you guys. Don't really know you. And you, the redhead, I don't really know you. And she just got up slowly. She said something, I don't know, but it was something catty. You know, I'm going to be a big deal, blah, 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 or whatever. And then she slaps Jerry very weakly, but Jerry sells it because he's an old pro.
Yeah.
Of all, you know, we could call Jerry many things, and old pro is definitely one of them.
Well, Jerry wrestled before cameras had close-ups, so...
True.
The guy's got to sell to the nosebleeds.
True. And it was just... that's the way it ended.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Jerry was like, okay, well, I think our time is up, and he gets out of the ring. And everyone's still in the ring, and then their music hits, everyone stands up and starts waving.
So, I'm curious if the reason that the Divas division has been so good as of late is because everybody that makes it terrible is focused on this show.
Yeah. They've had other things going on right now. And now that I'm pretty sure they're done taping, so now they're here.
Yeah.
It feels like right before this segment started, during the commercial break, WWE decided, it's like, you know what? We don't care about promoting this Total Divas show anymore.
After all that they've done?
Yeah, we're like, we're, you know what? We're giving up on this. You guys, we don't care. Do whatever you want. And they're like, well, there goes our moment. We just don't give a crap anymore.
Yeah.
And it just, it was just, it was a non-directional promotion that really didn't do nothing for the show.
Yeah.
It's just like, hey, remember that show? We're all on it. Hi. And this is a new chick you've never heard of. She's going to slap somebody. The end.
All right. Rock on. Whatever. I mean, you should have taken a phone call.
I know. I should have. I should have. And it's like, I we established last week that we're probably going to end up watching it.
Yeah.
But the point I made, it can't be much worse than TNA.
Yeah.
And, like I said.
Oh. Get your rim shot ready.
They both have the same amount of people. Zing. Roster cuts. Topical.
Here's the thing.
That was the whole reason why I brought that up.
I know.
And you did leave me.
I did leave you.
I was like, why leave me alone with this?
Why should we both suffer?
Because we're a team. We suffer. We cheer as a team.
Let me say this.
You don't get to leave during the crappy parts and then show up whenever CM Punk is just spewing out beauty all of our faces. Like,
like with most sports teams, there's like fair-weathered fans who like will, you know, all at once in 2006, everybody was suddenly a Red Sox fan.
Yeah.
So
like, oh, we've waited so long for this. And he's like, yeah,
no, you didn't.
You waited since the playoffs started. If that, since the World Series started, basically, yeah.
Yeah, that's me with Punk as on Punk as all of a sudden I'm like, oh, I'm here with the hardcore wrestling fan. I know the words Ring of Honor.
I don't know what they mean.
I'm a legitimate fan.
Who's Brian Danielson? That sounds so weird.
He's wrong. It's Daniel Bryan.
That's Antonio Cesaro. That's not that Claudio Casta. I don't know. I don't even know how to say that. He's not his name anymore.
The American Dragon. I thought that was Ricky Boatboat. That's my Fairweather WWE character.
Oh God.
Anyway, yeah. So no, I'm not.
Skip Sheffield never existed, right, guys?
I'm totally fine with not committing to the.
Chris Benoit doesn't exist in my world. He never did. Who are we talking about again?
Nope.
That Crossface movie looks like a wonderful work of fiction.
Oh man. Anyway,
should we really talk about CM Punk? Because nothing really. Like, they announced their match at SummerSlam.
They announced the match. We knew it was going to happen.
Other than that, it was just, you know, sitting back and letting Heyman Punk promo just flow all over you.
These guys should have a talk show. It's time.
Either they agree with each other or hate each other. I don't care.
Hardball with not Chris Matthews?
Yeah.
I would absolutely watch that.
Like Crossfire, but without idiots.
I know. And talking about wrestling. It's times like this that I want that WWE Network to get off the ground.
Yeah.
So.
And just have like a show where it's just those two having a retrospective of their run together. Like, both together they and could, against.
They could have a retrospective of the plot of Bambi. I don't care what they have a retrospective of. I just want them to talk to each other.
And then Bambi's mom comes back to life. And we title it Zambi.
You know what Bambi's dad is? Best deer in the world! Oh, man.
Oh, poop.
I think we're almost done. I do want to say, I feel really glad RVD is back.
Yeah.
And largely for RVD's sake, he just seems so happy to be back.
He seems so energized.
Yeah.
And it's so refreshing to see because we knew of the hard time he had with TNA and just and it wasn't really his fault. He's just, you know, he was in a less than desirable place and it kind of showed. You know, it seems like RVD reflects what's around him. If no one really is enthused around him, he's not going to be all that enthused.
Yeah.
If people around him are excited, both behind the scenes and the audience, as we've seen, he's going to just go all out and just be a kid in a toy factory, you know? Yeah. I was about to say a kid in a kid factory.
That's called school.
Or really morbid, you know? That's like a Saw movie.
You know, for kids. Saw babies. Little tiny jigsaw.
No, that's called Seesaw.
I think...
You feel that energy? That is our that audience laughing.
Jokes just sucked 5 years out of my life.
Yeah, it's worth it. Old age is not a way to describe it to be.
Question of the day?
Question of the day.
Question of the day.
We haven't had one of those in a while.
I know, we've...
We haven't had time to kill.
I have this, like, growing stockpile of question of the days. So, Randy Orton gets Money in the Bank. They say there's, you know, dirt sheets, etc. saying there's a build to rebuild Randy Orton as the number two face for the company, the number two guy in the company.
Okay.
Do you think that Randy Orton should be the number two guy in the company?
No.
Why not?
Because we've seen when he's not exactly a team player. You know?
Mm-hmm.
If you're going to be a top guy in the company, you've got to essentially play well with others.
Yes.
You know? I'm not saying Cena's the perfect guy at doing that, but...
Well, Cena is unquestionably number one guy.
But whenever Cena's in a match that is, you know, less than desirable on a Monday Night Raw or a Friday Night SmackDown, he's still going to put forth his usual effort.
Yes.
Now, if you say that is 110% or 50 or whatever, it's whatever. It's what his usual effort is.
Cena puts in the Cena amount.
Right. Randy, there's a noticeable drop whenever it's a less than zero match on a SmackDown that means nothing.
Yeah.
You know? He doesn't care. You know it doesn't care. You can read it all over him. Yeah. You know? I don't think that is what you want in a number two guy.
Okay. So who do you think is the number two guy right now? Who do you think should be the number two guy right now?
In my heart of hearts, I want Punk to be co-number one.
Yes.
Okay. From a deserving standpoint, Daniel Bryan absolutely deserves to be the number two guy across the board. He deserves to be number one guy, but we all know that Cena hurdle is not going to be hopped over.
Right.
So, from a deserving standpoint, absolutely Daniel Bryan deserves it.
Mm-hmm.
My own bias about CM Punk, I would like to say that as well. I don't know. With CM Punk, I don't even think in terms of rank, you know, in him. Like, he's just on a different thing right now.
Yes.
You know, now, if he gets refocused into the championship, that's a different story. But right now, it's hard to think of him. Right now, he probably is the number two guy.
Yeah.
Punk.
So, his match will be the second most important one on SummerSlam? I mean, to be fair, he's also fighting the part-timer who's coming back for that special match.
Right, right. That might lend to a end-of-show match.
Mm-hmm.
It depends on how much bigger they build Daniel Bryan and Cena. They don't really need to build it up too much to put Cena at the end of the show.
Yeah, it's...
And they didn't put Cena at the end of the show at Money in the Bank. So they might end up doing that this week. Or this month.
But I'm going to say, and that thing is Money in the Bank. And
right.
Sometimes if there's a match that's the title of the pay-per-view, that can trump it, you know, which is what the Royal Rumble does. You know?
Right.
Unless
you're The Rock.
Unless you're The Rock. And as grumpy about that as I can be, totally get it. It's The Rock.
It's Fair enough. The Rock. That's basically reason enough.
It's The Rock. You do whatever you want, whatever The Rock wants.
Including make a horrible video game app.
Yeah. No, Rock I get it.
Apocalypse.
I get it, man. They didn't have The Rock for so long.
Yeah.
And every second they didn't have him, his stock just went up and up and up for those, you know, what, 7 years that he was gone.
Yeah, and now we have this year, which he's just on a completely new level. Like, he's already had, what, 3 number one movies?
The guy, I think he's been in
this year alone?
Yeah. No, he's been in more than that.
Oh, he's been in more, but I mean, like...
Number one
chart toppers.
Yeah, Fast 5, or Fast 6, G.I. Joe, and Pain and Gain.
Mm-hmm.
Were all this year. That Snatch movie?
Snatch, it didn't open as well, but it was also independent.
Yeah, it was this, but it was this
actually
year,
too. Actually, wasn't that
bad. That's what I'm saying, is like, this year he's had that and probably more.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's doing Hercules now.
Not so sure how I feel about him in Hercules. Like, it could be good, it could be incredibly cheesy.
Hercules is a risky property.
Yeah.
Like, I get there's instant, like, name recognition, cash grab, gotta do it kind of things. And
I have a feeling they're going to try to mix like a Gladiator 300.
Yeah, that's the thing. Is like, I don't know how serious they're going. So my favorite Hercules is Kevin Sorbo. Totally gonna.
I know.
Come right out. That's how I want my Hercules. It is delightfully cheesy.
Who also played in the sequel to what you call it?
Walking Tall.
Walking Tall.
Yeah.
After Rock.
Kevin Sorbo in the Rock.
I love the pants off Walking Tall.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed that movie.
That's a good movie.
Yeah.
That was when he started going by...
No, he was still going Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Well, okay, so he was... He was The Rock for a while, then it was Dwayne The Rock Johnson, then for a while it was just Dwayne Johnson.
That was more, like, Tooth Fairy and Game Plan, is when he was
Game Plan was definitely Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Okay.
I think that was the last one that was Dwayne The Rock Johnson. After that, he's like...
But he really didn't do a whole lot of movies around that time. But now it's just he's.
I think Gridiron Gang might have been just Dwayne Johnson.
I did like Gridiron Gang.
So,
although, like I said before, he's such a downer in that movie.
Yeah,
it's like we're having a lighthearted moment. It's like, oh yeah, that kid's. Oh yeah, he's all nice and joking. We're laughing at what he's saying. That's funny. Yeah, I remember when he used to, you know, stab people for crack. Don't you remember that exhibit?
That's why The Rock is better than Dwayne Johnson. He'll sing a song about it to the tune of Cleveland Rocks.
Yes, he will. So. Oh, what were we talking about? We just got on rock movies.
the number two guy.
Yes.
So
I don't know. I understand the need or the want to put Randy Orton there. Deserving is another story.
Yeah,
there's no one more deserving of it right now than Daniel Bryan.
That's true. I'd also like to see Ziggler there.
Yeah. Every time you start talking about this stuff, you always... There's Ziggler in the back of your head, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
As he should be, yeah. He needs to be on the...
He should be in the front of your head.
He should... It's a joke there. I'm not diving into that trench.
Fair enough. Grenade remained unfallen upon.
Yes.
I mean, those are my big three, obviously, is Punk, Dolph, and Daniel Bryan. And that's the new crowd of guys. That's the, you know, the... that is the level of guys who are still new and young enough to have decent runs in the company, but have paid their dues.
Yeah.
You know, love me some Dean Ambrose, but he needs to spend more time building up, or he will...
Yeah, and I mean, he's still young.
Yeah. Otherwise, he'll have fast rise, time, fast
yeah.
fall.
Yeah.
And we saw Alex Riley on TV for the first time since when?
Since the last time he got punched backstage by Big Show, probably.
Yeah.
Which was first time we've seen him since the previous time we saw Big Show punch him backstage.
Yes. We gotta get somebody to punch.
I was surprised Big Show didn't pop out and punch him in the face. That seems to be the only time we ever see Alex Riley is when he's about to get
punched in the face.
Punched in the face by Big Show.
Big Show punch.
Falcon punch. Yeah.
So, yeah. All right. That's it. I guess we're all done.
That's right. It's time for the mail sack. Mail sack, mail sack, why is there hair in this mail sack? Mail sack, mail sack, let's all go inside. Mail sack, mail sack, why is there hair in this mail sack? Mail sack, mail sack, it's your mail sack. We have a single submission to the mail sack this week, so we still haven't found out what happens when it gets full.
No.
But we could still do that. We could still work that out. But this week, it comes to us from Twitter. Our good pal Jonah, he's at Jonah Q. He wants us to tell a story involving either current or past significant others in wrestling.
All right. My story. I don't know. It's not. I don't have like a super interesting. Oh boy, that one time story.
Yeah. I mean, basically, we touched on it last week.
Yeah.
Like, that was like the first real interaction with wrestling that
she had. Yeah. There was. I do very much remember. The first time she wanted to make plans for a Monday night.
And was this before she knew about the wrestling
thing? Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That was probably the moment you had to break it to her, didn't you?
Yeah, well, that's the thing, and, you know...
I mean, it's a two-man podcast. You could easily have watched later, because I usually cover Twitter anyway.
Yes, but, you know...
You didn't want that to be, like, a usual thing.
Yeah, that's the thing, is, like, it's in that moment, which I'm sure was, like, maybe 2 seconds in her life, but, like, a world... of thoughts happened.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, excuses could be made up for one way or the other. Like, you know, I could very much have been like, I can't watch wrestling that week because I got blah, blah, blah. You understand?
Yeah.
We could have figured that out, no problem.
We've done in the past, yeah.
But, you know, continual Monday plans, eventually it will...
would be an inconvenience for the podcast,
mm-hmm,
and what we're trying to accomplish.
Eventually, yeah, it will come to light that I have plans every Monday, you know. Eventually, you know, Sunday will fall into there. It's, you know, and it's something where, like, the first time that happens, it could be, you know, there's like, oh, do I just say I have plans? Do I make up plans?
Right.
Because there's... It's a door you can't close, is I am this age watching wrestling. It's so easy. Oh, I used to watch wrestling. That's how you do it with, you know, acquaintances out in the world, co-workers. You'd be like, oh, I used to watch wrestling. You know, you offhandedly make a smell what the Rock is cooking joke, because everybody knows them, and then you know...
It's your foot in the door, and
yeah,
then you can kind of...
You see who responds, then you can be like, oh, we can do a 316 joke, you know.
I really thought you were about to say a three-way. I was like, wow, Joel, tell me that story.
No, 316.
Let's start a different podcast.
And you work your way all, you know, you work your way through the timeline all the way up to Team Friendship. And,
right.
You know, you
see how recent they're watching, see what references they get.
So
basically your method as far as, you know, breaking the news is kind of just baby steps. Like,
that's the ideal way. I totally didn't do that.
Right.
I was like, I have to...
Yeah, there's a difference, like, between plan and execution. Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
I have to watch wrestling.
Yeah.
Like, I just...
Well, I mean, it's good that...
Dropped that knowledge.
It's good to be in an honest relationship.
Yes.
Both with wrestling and with your significant other.
Yes. So,
Now, were there any, like, instances with, like, previous, where you just either completely avoided it, or you told them and it just, you know, didn't have a good response?
I have totally used the "I have to" excuse. I have totally used the, like, you know, this is, I have this obligation to report on it thing. With the idea of, like, you know, we're gonna do, oh, it's actually super cool and I enjoy it, kind of thing.
Right.
You know, I but there is that's the easiest way for me to do it, is because I can say, like, oh, I have to for Inside Pulse, usually. It's like, I write this weekly column they've asked me to cover. I asked to cover wrestling. Was like, I've been asked to cover wrestling.
Right. Like, and, oh, we've seen your work. We like, yeah, but really, totally wasn't the, it was totally us. Like, can we write for you guys? Please, 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 please. Yeah.
So, yeah, so I've done that in the past. Yeah, this most recent one, though, is the one I was totally like, nope, gotta watch wrestling. Ironically, we ended up doing the Monday plans. I didn't watch wrestling with you that week.
Oh, God, you're so lucky I run Twitter. Oh, see, yeah, yours is a much more hopeful story. Mine, because really it was just that one relationship, because mm-hmm. that was the only relationship that I've been in since wrestling has been such a huge part of
yes.
my weekly life. And it absolutely had its peaks and valleys,
mm-hmm.
much like the actual relationship. The peaks were pretty high.
It's called a metaphor.
The valleys were so low, it was like below sea level.
Ooh, I heard that H noise. So low. Yes. As Sean Connery would say, they were so low.
It started off decent enough. Mm-hmm. I just came out and said it.
Yeah.
Because, you know, that was back in the time we were in the dorm.
Mm-hmm.
It was what I was doing every Monday, you know? And she also lived in the same dorm. So it's not like I was going to hide it from her.
It's what you do with your friends.
Right.
And that's
basically what she chalked up. Oh, it's just a fun thing he does with his friends. Whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Even though there's been times where she got so mad at me for spending time with my friends.
Yeah.
I very much remember the one where we had a get-together at my house, and a whole bunch of people were sleeping over, and you were sleeping on air mattresses in my room, and she was making a big deal about me being there and made me go see her at 3 a.m. So I like stepped over you, and I came back like the next morning and you were sleeping in my bed.
You said I could.
No. You took all the covers off my bed.
Oh.
That's what it was.
That might have been it.
And yeah, you're absolutely right. I said you could. I was like, dude, this is going to be a long one, so if you get tired of that air mattress, take my bed. I don't care. Fair enough. Then there was points where, especially when we started the podcast and everything, she very much knew that it was a big part of my life. And, you know, she started asking questions, which, you know, leads me on to, like, all this wealth of wrestling knowledge that I have.
That's the thing, is like...
Yeah, which is something that I would not have just gone off and just spout all that stuff, but, you know, she asked about it, and it seemed like she was wanting to at least sort of understand it,
mm-hmm.
you know.
I experienced something like that where, you know, she asked me what got me into it, and the truth of the matter was what got me into it this time in a big bad way was the Montreal Screwjob.
Yeah, and that's a great conclusion. It's a really good entranceway.
It is, but I can't. You know, I can't just say, oh, it was a Montreal Screwjob. That makes no sense.
Right, you have to...
But then to explain the Montreal Screwjob...
You have to explain a lot.
Yeah, it's like, have you the hour and a half it's going to take for me to recount this tale?
Yeah.
And so there's this very big balance of, like, I get that you're totally interested, at least in a curiosity standpoint.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to... You don't know the door that you've opened by asking that question.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's very much, you know... sitting there, and she'll be like, oh, why does that guy hate that guy? And there's so much I could say to that. Yeah.
But you know, just kind of water it down. Mm-hmm. Just tell her what she needs to know to understand what's going on right
here's
now.
The short
right, version. Right. Absolutely. Yeah, whenever I finally convinced her to watch the actual product, obviously there's some stuff where, she... kind of, you know, laughed off. But then there was some stuff that interested her. Like, she really seemed to really dig CM Punk, and I was like, gold, right there. That's my end. You know? It did something she always did. Whenever there was, like, a high spot or a really stiff kick or something, mm-hmm. she always did the gasp. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh, that's adorable. And I think, because she did watch one WrestleMania with us, mm-hmm. I think it was
28.
Yeah, it was 28. And she did that, and I remember at least John, like, looking at her and be like, you know, they're not actually getting hurt right now, right? you know, the very John way
yes.
you know, doing it. That was a rough weekend for that relationship. Oh, beginning of the end, sir.
I'm sorry, Chris.
No, no, no. It was one of those things where it's like, it was weird, and I'm not sure if it was the wrestling itself or just the person is just, it went from completely understanding why I was so passionate about it, and at least appreciating that I was passionate about it, to, I don't know why you're doing this, this is dumb, you're wasting your time, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Sorry this got serious, but that was my, you know.
It's, I totally get that that is an experience that can be had out there.
Mm-hmm. And my standpoint now is, you know, when I meet someone and we talk or whatever, I'm pretty much on Front Street about it because it's such a huge thing for me.
Yeah.
You know, and there's just no way around it.
Yeah.
You know, we're watching it every Monday. We're doing a podcast that either that night or the next night. And also that day, I'm also writing a column about it.
Mm-hmm.
I run a Twitter all week, you know? So yeah. It's... I have wrestling shirts, like...
Yeah, it's...
I'm not a hipster, so I don't have them ironically. I have what I like.
Yeah. It's something where, you know, I can't do the thing where I pretend I don't like it.
Right.
Which, you know, I've done before.
I can't.
Confession.
I wear my likes and dislikes so much on my sleeve. Like, mm-hmm. it's almost impossible for me to... Like, if someone comes out and they're, you know, start talking about Batman, I'm going to get excited because I love... Or Star Wars or anything. Like, I'm just going to be like... Because Star Wars is another thing.
Yeah.
That's why I'm pretty sure just... Things were just not going to work because she just hated Star Wars. Although, there was one time where she did say that she liked it.
Mm-hmm.
But that was the only time that she refused to admit that that ever happened. But it did. It totally did. And I think that she was just saying that she didn't like it because it drove me insane.
Yeah.
So, Star Wars is a must.
Yes. We've
I mean, you can think whatever you want about wrestling. You can just, you don't have to appreciate the wrestling. You just appreciate our passion for it.
Yeah.
But Star Wars is a must.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. There's just no way around that. I've traveled through many, many states for Star Wars.
I get people, why people would not like wrestling. I get why you would not enjoy it.
Right. It's not going to be everyone.
It's something you enjoy or you don't.
Fine.
There's a lot of things I don't enjoy that I can totally appreciate.
Right.
You know? I don't get not enjoying Star Wars.
Could you?
I don't get it.
Yeah, like, there's so many awesome things about it.
I'm gonna get a pat comment.
I don't care. This is where we unite against the pats. Right here. There is no way... No way... that you could not like something about Star Wars. Whether it's the slightest detail or just one tiny little thing. Because that's what... Because there was the whole bit with R2 at the beginning of episode 3.
Uh-huh.
Where, you know, R2 just, you know...
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, he's like, he did what he could. Did I say anything? He's like, I didn't say anything. Like, that whole part.
Mm-hmm.
She thought that was the funniest thing ever. And I was like, ha! Or something. It's not the greatest thing, and I don't know why you like that, but that's something.
That's something.
You know? So, yes, there's no way you don't like something about Star Wars.
This is where you draw the line?
This is where I draw the line.
This far, no further.
Even the hardcore Trekkies have to admit that there's something to like about Star Wars.
Right on. Right on.
I am furious about it.
I can tell. Would you like to talk about the wrestling on our wrestling podcast, Chris?
I could not point my finger any harder at the microphone.
With so much vigor.
We talked about possibly going across country for Star Wars. For
I know.
A convention.
I know. I was there. Breathe.
How are you telling me to calm down about this? You're bigger into Star Wars than I am.
I know I am.
You read the books. I don't give a shit about the books.
There it is. There it is. The thing that caused Chris to break and ruin our rating after a year and a half.
I never
of
said
doing
it.
Podcasts.
Star Wars.
The thing on the wrestling podcast.
A theoretical hate of Star Wars. find some way to leave that in.
Oh, man.
I think that's a good point to end.
Okay. As always, you can follow us at CR Star Wars. Because clearly we don't care about wrestling that much.
You start that Twitter account. Just nothing but wrestling and Star Wars references mixed together.
My God, Darth Vader, that hand had a family. It's sexual chocolate and Mae Young, but it's a family. That actual Twitter account is at CR Attire. You can follow us. We live tweet Mondays every Raw. We live tweet the pay-per-views that we can.
If you have any comments, questions, anything you want us to address on the show, if you want to fill up the mail sack, send those to classyrigattire@gmail.com.
We are also on iTunes. You can find us there. You can subscribe. You get new episodes coming straight to your computer. If you give us a rating of
5 stars
or a review, that would be fantastic.
And if you're listening to us on wrestling.insidepulse.com, leave us a comment on there. We'd love to hear from you. And while you're there, go ahead and check out all the other columns that are on there. Both me and Joel will have something new on there. I'm sure it'll be awesome. So definitely go and check everything out on the, on that site.
Until next time, stay classy and huzzah.
Huzzah.